Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Off we go, ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Welcome in. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Great to have you as the Major League Baseball postseason is underway. And I don't know what to tell you. Yesterday was amazing. The Dodgers finished off with some fireworks last night. Shohei Ohtani is obviously who that clip was about. He went yad twice. Teoscar Hernandez went yad twice. Love my guy Hunter Green, just not a good day for him and his Reds last night. But I'm not specifically jacked up about the Dodgers. Although I did specifically say, like, 2 hours before that game started, I am absolutely terrified that the Dodgers are going to be one of these teams that just click. The Dodgers have not been all year the team that we expected them to be. The Dodgers have not been all year the team that we expected to go win 110 games, to not just hit their over win total, but to go screaming past it with 2 weeks left to play in the season, and they didn't do that. And there's a million reasons why. This team, I hope, has a wonderful sponsorship with a local medical facility because they had to constantly be sending vans of players to and from a local medical facility, as we in the wrestling world call them. But now they're healthy. Now they're good. Now they're right. And I told Ryan Horvat and Brad last night on BetMGM tonight when they said, do you have a play in this game? I'm not a vibes guy. I do not make my picks, predictions, projections, and prognostications based on what I think a team might do. Or what the team's emotion is. Well, you know, this team's going to be really upset about a bad loss last week. I don't know that. I'm not in that locker room. Maybe they're ticked off, and maybe they're not. I don't know. Maybe that loss to Florida State is what triggered Alabama to go on a tear and beat Georgia. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to bet on that. But I did say, this team's got too much talent to be the 3 seed. And I've got to think, as much as this is not a reason to make a pick, prediction, projection, or prognostication, I've got to think this team's pretty angry about the fact that they enter the season as the 3 seed, that they enter the postseason as the 3 seed, that they have to play in the wild card round. This is a team that was not supposed to have a postseason run. This was a team that was supposed to have a coronation at the end of the year with the talent they stocked. And I said to Ryan and Brad, I'm afraid this team's going to click. They're as healthy as they have been all season long. They are at home. They get 3 games against all due respect to the Reds. But they get a team that they are clearly just better than in every capacity. I would not be shocked if the Los Angeles Dodgers come out tonight and just put on a show. And they did. But that's not even why yesterday was great. Although I did enjoy that. Stayed up way past my bedtime last night to watch the end of that game. The reason yesterday was great was because baseball went first pitch at 1 p.m. And I watched baseball from 1 p.m. until 11:30, 11:45 last night, knowing full well that that alarm was going to click at 3:40 a.m. Didn't care. Didn't care. Injected in my veins. And as if the wild card's opening day wasn't good enough, which it absolutely was, we get to do it again today, and we get to do it again tomorrow. Don't call me, don't text me, don't beat me. I don't care if you want to reach me. Unless somebody is bleeding, I don't want to hear from you when baseball's on, unless you are texting me or tweeting me or calling me to talk about baseball, in which case I'm in. That was great. And oh, by the way, we had the WNBA semifinals last night. The Las Vegas Aces ended up in a really good overtime game last night against the Indiana Fever. They get the dub over Indiana. Hell of a lot of credit to the Indiana Fever. They had five significant opening day starters unavailable to them in this postseason. They made it to the semifinals. They took Las Vegas to game five in a best of five. Then they took them to overtime in a game where Asia Wilson scored 35. Took them to OT. Phenomenal contest last night. The biggest problem for Indiana is that injuries, once again, the name of the game. Kelsey Mitchell had to get out of this game in the third quarter with what the team is describing as severe cramping in her leg. Had to be helped off of the court to go to a hospital and get fluids and whatnot. Maybe that team wins if she's able to stay. Maybe they're not. I don't know. That was a disappointment for a team that was already missing Cunningham, already missing Clark, et cetera, to lose the player who was the reason, as the addition, we thought this Fever team was going to make a championship run this year in the midst of what would turn into a five-game series and overtime series with, I believe, the postseason favorite to win the WNBA title, Las Vegas, with Asia Wilson playing the way she played last night, balling TF out. A lot of credit to the Fever. Now we've got our WNBA finals, which start Friday set. Phoenix taking on Las Vegas in a best of seven. We'll cover that for you as we get there. That was great. And then, on top of all of that, while there was no major football played last night, there was a lot of football news that came out last night. There were a lot of press conferences taking place around these great United States that impact football this weekend. It was just, and we started getting our NBA news last night, because Media Day was 2 days ago, and we had the discussion yesterday about the concept of team philosophy. And one of the points that I made was that one of the guys that I, even if it's only in this moment, that we can look at was LeBron James. Luka Doncic got his fat contract. JJ Redick got his extension from the Lakers. The only dude on that team right now that does not have a major extension is LeBron James. And now maybe it's because, and it is fair to work with this, maybe it is because of the fact that LeBron James is in a position where he wants out. He's like, this is my last run. One more ride with LA, and then I'll go back to Cleveland, or I'll go back to Miami, or I'll go to Golden State with Steph or whatever.
So I don't know if you know this or not. When's the last time he had a long-term contract? I thought he'd been doing just one-year contracts.
When he got to LA, he signed a multi-year contract.
Which is what, three?
Three or four, I don't remember. But, I mean, he was on one. This is the last year of it. And so the thought was, if LeBron wants to be one of those guys that becomes a Laker, a face Laker, like a legacy Laker, he would want to stick this thing out if he is going to play more basketball. Because we all know LeBron's an image guy. We all know that the image matters to him. And I get it. Like, LeBron is no dummy. He understands that his post-career is going to work or not work based on what his image is. And so the thought was, if he wants to be in that trade, and I'm not saying he's earned it, deserves it, whatever, that's up to you to decide. But if he wants to Laker fans, to LA, be considered like Jerry West, like Kareem, he is a Laker all-timer, he would sign another contract. So there is speculation. But whether it's because the Lakers know, and this is my theory, the Lakers know this is Luka's team now. This is Luka's team now. This team, LeBron James is a supplementary, complementary second player to Luka Doncic, a 26-year-old generational star. And they may not want to sign him to a long-term contract, at least not that is on par with the amount of contracts or the amount of money he's been paid in contracts in years gone by. That is not a suspicion. That is what I believe is happening. That the Lakers would say, we want to put you at half the value of what you would get if you would go to Cleveland because we got to pay Luka Doncic. That's our long-term future, and that would make sense. What I do know is at Media Day earlier this week, LeBron James was asked specifically about not playing under a contract, and he said, I'm not really worried about it. I'm dialed in on the team. I'm dialed in on the Lakers. I'm dialed in on being the best teammate I can be. I'm dialed in on the young guys and the new guys that are on this roster and getting everybody developed. And then yesterday we found out that LeBron James is probably out for a good chunk of the preseason. Nothing specific as to why. My suspicion is, as somebody who suffers...
Space Jam 3.
Maybe. But my suspicion is, great one, if somebody, as somebody who suffers from LeBron, I don't know if you know this, LeBron James has a condition, and it's not widely reported on, and I will say that it is largely problematic for those of us who suffer this chronic condition, and this chronic condition does not have a cure. LeBron James suffers, and I've never revealed this on the radio, but I actually suffer from the same condition for which there is no cure, and it does have an impact.
It's not male pattern baldness.
Right? It is not.
Okay.
Look at the mane.
It could be a wig. I don't know.
It is not. The chronic condition that LeBron James suffers from that I've never revealed, but I also suffer one, and I can tell you, this chronic condition makes it very difficult on some days to show up and be the best that you can be at whatever you do. It is a life-impacting chronic condition that every day you have to wake up and you have to go through a process to handle this condition. It impacts every element of your life, every minute of your life, whether you're thinking about it or not. And the condition that LeBron has that I think is maybe going to dictate his availability in the run-up to the season that I also suffer from, which does make me struggle sometimes during the show, is a condition, Lonzo, called being over 40-itis.
Oh, I thought you were going to say being the best at what you do. That's what I thought you were.
Nope.
I thought you were heading there.
Nope. It is being over 40-itis. It is a real chronic condition that millions of Americans around the world suffer from, and they do not realize that they suffer from it, predominantly because you don't want to admit that you suffer from chronic over 40-itis. It is a real condition that impacts your life, your ability to perform, and I mean that in every sense of the word. Like, it is a real thing that some of us have to wake up, and it's the first thought we have is, how do I manage this lifelong, incurable, chronic condition of over 40-itis to be able to successfully get through my day and thrive? It is the first thing you think of when you get up in the morning because your knees hurt and your back hurts and you got to stretch out just to feel like a normal person. It's the last thing you think of when you lay down to go to bed at night because you're like, what time am I going to have to get up and pee tonight in the middle of the night? Over 40-itis is a real condition that both LeBron James and I suffer from. So I'm not entirely surprised by that, but the Laker fans are in a bit of a panic. Because here's the thing, even if Luka Doncic is a generational superstar, if there is going to be one last run out of LBJ, it probably has to be this year. It's probably got to be this year. And now Luka's healthy, and he's had a full year. And he's not fat anymore, is he, Nico? He's not fat Luka anymore. He's shredded Luka now. So, like, this is the setup. So we got some NBA news out of Media Day. We'll talk some basketball later in the show. But I said yesterday on the show that today on the show, we would do an X's and O's Wednesday. We would take a look. We've done the emotional stuff. We've done the philosophical stuff. We have done the mentality stuff. We've talked about that all week long. At the end of the day, all of that is massively important. None of it matters if you get out onto the basketball court or the football field or the baseball diamond and you have bad plays that are sent in and the guys don't execute the good ones that are. So I would like to spend a little bit of time today discussing what it is that we have seen specifically on the field that has gone right and has gone wrong for the Carolina Panthers, for the Clemson Tigers, for the South Carolina Gamecocks. We can do the same for other teams as well. The Atlanta Braves season, mercifully, is over, obviously, as they were bounced from the playoffs a handful of days ago. We can do a little bit of a post-mortem because I do think there is a little bit of that. This is the reason that I have been saying. Love Brian Snicker. Appreciate career loyalty. Appreciate him for what he did in leading us to the World Series a handful of years ago. Appreciate the fact that we have been up until this year a contender in the NL East and in the National League for multiple years in a row. I don't take it for granted, but I do think it is time for some fresh blood in the dugout. I think it is time for some fresh blood, somebody who is a little bit younger and able to connect to the locker room to make leadership decisions. And the reason that I believe that is, I think a lot of the reason for a lot of the failures of the Atlanta Braves is predicated on a lot of poor decision making out of the manager in big time games. It is massively important. We'll get to all of that. And we will get to a rumor that started floating around the Panther message boards yesterday. And I do want to talk about this. The rumor that started floating around the Carolina Panther message boards yesterday was that we may have our first David Tepper interaction with the team in a while. We may have our first Tepper's putting his hands back on the product that we have had in a while, or at least publicly. How's that?
Remember what I said yesterday.
We will talk about that.
Maybe time to step in.
I can't wait for Rashad Beard to show up tomorrow with his step in shirt. All right. Sorry, Friday, not tomorrow. I don't know why I woke up thinking it was Thursday.
I'd be okay with that, but it's not. It's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. It's X's and O's Wednesday. So let's have a little fun on the show today, shall we? I am Rob Brown. He's the great one, Lonzo. You are amazing, and we're so glad you're here. It's the Rob Brown Show. 4 hours of electrifying sports talk entertainment starts now on the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you follow me on Twitter, at the Rob Brown Show, you know that throughout the course of the football season, I will occasionally share a screen cap I took from a football game a couple of years ago. And the screen cap is of a young lady in the front row of the audience at a game. I don't remember who was playing. I don't care. It's not particularly important. The young lady is standing with a very, let's say, a face of great displeasure, we will say. And she is wearing and pointing at a T-shirt that she has on. A T-shirt which says, "Run the damn ball." It's a T-shirt that I think more fans should not just wear. It's a T-shirt, I think, that has a philosophy attached to it. A T-shirt that does not just make a demand or even a statement. I think it is a T-shirt that I wish more fans would wear to games so that more coaches would look up into the stands and see a bunch of fans who want you to, again, in all caps, run the damn ball. I bring up my sports meme in this spot because I think, and again, maybe it just was because it was against Kentucky, and maybe the success of run the damn ball only worked because Kentucky is, unfortunately for the Wildcat, unfortunately for BBN, Big Blue Nation, not a very good football team this year. Probably Mark Stoops' worst since he has been the HC at UK. But even Shane Beamer in his postgame press conference went out of his way to point out that they got back to the run game. They got back to the basics of the run game. They utilized Lenoris Sellers as a runner in the run game. And they won the game. I rewatched some spots in that Kentucky game again, or that South Carolina Kentucky game last night in preparation for today's show. And one of the things that jumped off the page at me was not just that South Carolina run the damn ball throughout the course of the game. It was that they knew the spots they wanted to run the ball. And most importantly of all, and this is cliche, but as I've said, while I do hate sports cliches, cliches are cliches for a reason. They did not just run the damn ball. They executed when they did it. It was not confusion. I did not have running backs running into a hole to find out, uh-oh, there's a linebacker there. I did not have to lean on face on, leaning forward to try to pick up an extra 2 or 3 yards because the line of scrimmage was just cluttered every time he ran the damn ball. It was executed. It looked to me as if South Carolina had, and again, maybe it's just because Kentucky's not a good football team. They may be a good baseball team. I don't know. But they're not a good football team. I do know that. It looked to me as if South Carolina recognized we can outpower this team at the line of scrimmage. So let's take this game to get right with our blocking schemes. Let's take this game to get right with the principles, with the fundamentals, with the body positioning, with the reads, with the understanding of what front results in which blocking assignments, et cetera, et cetera. It looked to me as if South Carolina took advantage of the get right game. And get right game is going to be something we are going to talk about quite a bit this week as we approach the football weekend. Because South Carolina just had theirs against Kentucky. And BT Dubs, it's the last one you have until you play Coastal Carolina the week ahead of the rivalry game against Clemson on Thanksgiving weekend. Every game, the rest of the ride for you until Coastal and against Clemson is against not just ranked teams, but like top 20 teams, top 15 teams, the rest of the ride. LSU, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, all these teams are teams that at least have been at one point this season ranked inside or well inside of the top five. You had your get right game. And I have to say, from what I saw yesterday, it did appear that what needed to be done to get right in get right game got right. That's the good news. The run game looked like it was, let's get back to the core concepts. Let's get back to the fundamentals. Let's get back to making sure that we have our bodies in the right position. Let's make sure that our bodies are in the right position and we are fundamentally sound in the blocking scheme. Let's make sure that our running backs are understanding here's where the hole is supposed to be and also here's where it might be. So be ready for a cutback. It felt to me like the last couple of games, and I understand you want explosiveness out of your running back. You want, once ball is in pocket and arms are collapsed around it, you want your guy to be planting the foot and bang, hit the hole if you are trying to run the damn ball. But there also needs to be some understanding of here is where it is likely you will need to cut. If this linebacker does this, hole's probably going to move over that way. If that linebacker does that, probably going back the other way. Be aware of that. Adjust to it. And it looked that way. Because the last couple of games, it did not look like Attaway and Faison were hitting the hole with explosivity because that's their run style. It looked like they were hitting the hole because, A, the holes weren't there the way they needed to, and when they were, they weren't there for long. And it looked to me like they knew that if they wanted positive yardage in the run game on a consistent level, they were going to have to earn it with Yak Daddy Yads at the line of scrimmage, not because a hole opened up for seven and then they would pick up the yak yards. That's the opposite of what happened this past Saturday. Now, the question mark for that team is, now that you've got it, now that you've gotten comfortable, now that your guys have had their get-right game to make sure that the fundamentals are solid, the assignments are understood, you've seen it play out in a real football game, can you take it on the road? Can you take it on the road down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana? Because I want to be very clear. I've spent the last couple of weeks warning people, I think LSU is a bit overrated. I think they are a good team. I do not think that they are a great team. I think that they are a good team. I do not think that they are a team that is clearly separating themselves from the rest of the pack. I think they're fine. I think they're very good. I think they are absolutely a playoff team. I think they are absolutely a team that can, probably will, be in the playoffs and can, probably will, compete for a good run in it. But remember how 2 weeks ago we did a segment on the show where I said, does anybody through 3 weeks, does anybody see a dominant team in college football? Does anybody see a team that you look at right now and go, there's your national champions? No. And there's nothing wrong with that because I'm a big fan of better parity across college football. I am a bigger fan of entering the postseason not having any clue who's going to end up winning the national championship. I believe that's good for college football. Not like it was for many years where you go into any given season and there's like two teams. And then there's a bunch of teams that you go, maybe if everything is perfect and they get everything perfect, they have a shot. But it's one of these two teams. It's pretty wide open. I think LSU's in the group of teams that play their best ball, absolutely can win a national championship. But on the flip side, I worry you take that too far. On the flip side, I worry and you go, we all think LSU was a little bit overrated at number two. And oh, by the way, they just went to Oxford, Mississippi, and they lost to Lane Kiffin, a.k.a. Joey Freshwater, and the Ole Miss running Rebels. And if you're going to go on the road and lose to Ole Miss, as I said to the lovely Lulu Kesson yesterday on the show, if that team can lose to Ole Miss. And again, my favorite phrase, it's not that you lost, it's how you lost. If you can lose to Ole Miss and not lose because they're a better football team, I do not think that Ole Miss is position to position, unit to unit. I don't think they're a better football team. I think their offense was set up for that game. And I think their offense was set up for that game because They found a young man by the name of Trinidad Chambliss, who stepped in 2 weeks ago and has been a revelation at quarterback. Doing what? Playing Lenore Sellers football. Playing the football Lenore Sellers can be. So that to me says this is a winnable game for the Gamecocks. But in order to get there, you need to do two things. Number one, listen to that lady in section 111, row 1, seat C, with her t-shirt that says run the damn ball. And the reason you need to do that is to make sure that the LSU defense, with a very good linebacker core, is obligated to stay home and treat you honestly. Why? To allow the edge to open up for Lenore Sellers. And then there must be designed runs. Run the damn ball, but more importantly than just run the damn ball, run the damn ball with Lenore's, just like you did against Kentucky. You want to beat LSU? That's how you do it. There's your X and O. Run the ball well, stick to the fundamentals, make LSU play you honestly up front so that Lenore's can be a weapon, because Trinidad Chambliss just gave you the blueprint to beating LSU. But you've got to do it in Baton Rouge, unlike Ole Miss, who did it in Oxford, which means you have to be perfect. That's not a question. That's a statement. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Debo Swinney grabbed a mic yesterday. Now, over the past couple of weeks, the sentence, Debo Swinney grabbed a mic yesterday, has ordinarily been followed by me having a problem with something that he said. And, of course, I'm just a little yokel nobody with a microphone, so it doesn't matter, but, you know, I've had a problem with some stuff that he said. One of the things that I have brought up over the past couple of weeks, I think Dabo has utilized certain things to attempt to shield himself from criticism. Many of you Clemson fans fired back at me that you believe that Dabo Swinney was shielding the football team. He was willing to say and do things that he knew was going to cause a bit of an uproar because it would shift the conversation away from the football team and the shortcomings of a team that was supposed to be laden with national championship caliber talent, and it would shift the attention over to him. He was willing to step into the line of fire in order to shield the boys in the locker room while they figured it out. And we will find out if that is the case because, hey, here's that word again, get right game. This weekend against a outmatched, outgunned, and I believe out-coached North Carolina team. So, with that being said, we'll see if Clemson gets right. But Dabo Swinney grabbed a microphone yesterday, and he had this to say. Yeah. Yeah. And again, I don't like to hand out flowers for saying and doing what you are supposed to say and do, right? Like you don't get brownie points. You don't get bonus points because you said or did the thing that is expected of you. It is not something that I go, oh wow, I'm so proud that the head coach grabbed a microphone and said, it's on me. I'm accountable. I'm the guy. At the end of the day, whatever happens out there on the football field, whatever results we get, it's on me. Like, yes, you're the head coach. Of course, we all know that. The reason this feels significant to me is because it is the first time in over a week since Clemson took their third loss in four games, since they had their worst start since 2014, and since we got to the point where Dabo had to say something else that felt very obvious, which is we're not winning the national championship game this year. It feels to me as if this is the first time that there has been some level of it's on me since they went 1-3 to start the season and got to a point where Dabo said the other obvious thing of we're not winning a national championship this year. And while I do not think that Dabo Swinney has ever been a guy who has shied away from whatever the results of any game or any season are ultimately on me as the head coach, I think like with any of us, it's a hell of a lot easier and more fun to say the results of any given game and season are on me when the results of any given game or season are wins 10-2, 11-1, 12-0 seasons, national championship appearances, and victories. It's a lot easier. It is much tougher for anybody when things are going poorly, when things are going badly, to step in and say, it's on me. This failed. We did not reach our goals, our accomplishments. Therefore, this is on me. So I'm glad that happened. I'm not going to celebrate that he said it. I'm not going to come in here and go, how brave of Dabo to say, my job is my job and my job's not going well right now. But I will say it is a change in the conversation. It is a change in the tonality of Dabo Swinney than what we have heard over the past few weeks.
Do you think that possibly someone above him had a talk with him?
I think for a lot of coaches, my answer would be, yeah, probably. I don't think so here. I think Dabo Swinney, by way of A, making Clemson, I mean, they are what they are because of him, and B, the levels of success. Like, I know I kind of got onto him a couple of weeks ago when things were going very poorly, and like I said, I think he utilized a couple of different phrases to shield himself from criticism, or if you want to believe the Clemson fans, shield the team from criticism by absorbing it himself. But I also think that all of the things that he said in that press conference, we've won this conference 8 of the last 10 years. We have been 10-2 more than we've been anything else. We have been to the playoffs a whole bunch of times. We have been to the Natty 4. We have won a pair of them. I do think that Dabo Swinney, for right now, has a very long leash attached to him. Like, you do what you think you got to do to figure this out. I think that he has, as of right now, more than any coach that's not named Smart, Day, Key. That might be it. Like, outside of a list of coaches that if I sat here and think maybe I could come up with more, but I doubt that I would need all the fingers on both hands to put that club together. More than most other coaches, I think Dabo Swinney is a guy who has unchecked, unsupervised, unmanaged control over everything in the football program. I absolutely do. I think this is just a matter of, just go read the Clemson message boards, man. Just go look at them. It is at a point, and it hit this point, honestly, after the loss to Syracuse, where even my most diehard Clemson fans, the ones who, and again, I want to be very clear, I am in no way, shape, or form insinuating, nor do I believe that it is move on from Dabo time. Okay? Just so we can put that one to bed. It is not. You have a head coach that, as far as I am concerned, is very good at probably two of the four columns of my coaching foundation. Acquisition, retention, development, and execution. I think Dabo Swinney is excellent at acquisition, with the exception of the portal stuff, but different conversation. I think he is the best in the country at retainment, at keeping guys in the program. I think that he is woefully falling short of development right now. This is part of the reason that I have said my biggest criticism of Dabo is the staff he's assembled. Because when you have a bunch of guys that come through that, they are Clemson men, they are dedicated to the program, they would lay down on the tracks for the Clemson football program. Being really dedicated to where you work does not mean that you are going to be good at the work you do for or in that place, right? Like, you can be very dedicated to the place you work. It doesn't make you good at the job. And you could be very good at the job. It doesn't mean you're dedicated to the place you're doing it. I think Dabo's got a bunch of guys who are very dedicated to the job, but aren't necessarily good at it. And by it, I mean player development. And I don't think we need to point too much further down the line than DJ Uiagalelei and Cade Klubnik the last couple of years to say the development's not there. So I think Dabo is very good at player acquisition and player retention. I don't think he's very good at development. And as I've said a few times, and this isn't a shot because I say the same thing about Nick Saban, and Nick Saban is the greatest college football coach of all time, I don't think he's very good at game day execution. I think Dabo's the guy that has to be surrounded by football guys like Tony Elliott and Brent Venables, who are, by the way, both having very successful seasons right now. So I think that theory kind of is floated. The only takeaway I had from that, and we will get into some of what I expect to see out of Clemson against North Carolina this weekend a little bit later on in the show. But I will take this moment. I will take this moment where Dabo Swinney grabbed a mic and for the first time during this, whatever you want to call the first 4 weeks or four games of the season, said, this is on me. I'm not pointing a finger. I'm pointing a thumb. This is on me. It's an abject coaching failure because it is. If I ask you, in fact, I will do this here. The text line, the Hub City Spartanburger text line is open, 844-326-3663. The text line is open for you. Clemson fans, I would like an answer. If I asked you what it is, if I asked you to narrow it down to one primary factor, let's make it two. Two primary factors at most. One if you got it, two if you need them. What has gone wrong in this season? What would you say they are? What would you say are the primary things that have gone wrong? I've got two of them. The first thing I would say is that the player development is not there. And while I do not put it on the head coach to do the developing, I do put it on the head coach to have developers in place to encourage development of those who need developing. That is his job. That is his role. And so if the development is not there, yes, it's on him. The second thing that I would say, this is what has gone wrong is, and this is not new, it's a stale, boring, predictable offense. It just is. You can watch this team, and if you have been paying attention to this team for the last 2 or 3 years, you can pretty much dial up on any given situation, here's in the family of plays that we are going to run next. When I used to cover Florida State, when I lived down in the Florida Panhandle, they had a run where Bobby's kid, Jeff Bowden, was the offensive coordinator at Florida State. And Florida State fans were very aggravated with that because for a couple of years when Jeff Bowden was the OC at FSU, you could play a drinking game during Florida State games of predict Jeff's next play. And if you watch this football team for more than 4 or 5 games, you get hammered during Florida State games because it was not that difficult to do. It was not just that it was a pattern. It was that it was predictable even for like general run-of-the-mill fans, like casual fans. I'm not talking about like Super Bowl knowers. I'm talking about just dudes who watch ball on Saturday and they don't think about it again until next Saturday. They got into that spot. I feel you are dangerously programmed. I think your program is dangerously close to being at that spot. Now, why that is up for debate. I've given you my thought. My thought is, while Garrett Riley is the offensive coordinator, the offense that is being run is not much, if any, different than the way that the offense has been run the couple of years leading up to this year. And it is not the same offense that Garrett Riley was running at TCU when he got the national championship berth that ultimately earned him this job. It is, as far as I'm concerned, a Dabo Swinney problem because I think, and we've talked about this, Dabo is staunchly conservative when it comes to running the football program. He wants it done the way it's always been done. And the reality is the game grows, the game evolves, the game moves on, and so does the game. The X's and O's, the on the court or the on the field football. And I think those two problems, a lack of player development coupled with predictability and uninspired play calling on the offense, is what is holding you back at this point. And if that is the case, all of that goes directly back to Dabo Swinney. So I'm glad that the accountability's been mentioned. Now my question is, what the hell do you do about it? So we'll talk about that North Carolina game a little bit later on in the show. When we come back, water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office. We'll talk a little baseball and more. All of that after Lonzo gives you a World Series caliber sports flash.
All right, let's do this. The MLB wild card round started yesterday, and the Detroit Tigers defeated Cleveland 2-1. Detroit needed only five hits, including RBIs from Spencer Torkelson and Zach McKinstry, to win. The Cubs grabbed a 3-1 win over San Diego in Game 1. Chicago had back-to-back homers from Seiya Suzuki and Carson Kelly. Boston beat the Yankees 3-1. New York had 13 combined strikeouts and failed to score with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth. And the Dodgers took down the Reds 10-5. Blake Snell got the win with 7 innings and 9 strikeouts. The Big 12 fined Colorado $50,000 and reprimanded the school publicly for a derogatory chant aimed at BYU fans. The chant, which specifically mentioned Mormons, was chanted during BYU's 24-21 victory in Boulder. A federal judge will allow the Pac-12's lawsuit against the Mountain West Conference over $55 million in poaching fees to go forward.
And listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.